for a while. Mobile.
T-Mobile.
Been here for a while. Mobile. Cool. Been here for a while. Mobile.
This is KQ4 AKE. 4FRY KQ4 AKE. Q4 AKE, standing by.
FRY, radio check.
4FRY, this is KQ4 AKE. How do you click? How do you hear?
Yeah, I'm doing a radio check, and thanks for getting back with me.
I heard you call a few minutes ago and replied back, but apparently you couldn't hear me, so hope you got your problem squared away. This is KQ4 AKE. We're standing by.
KQ4
AKE, standing by. For DEW, this is Ben. That's Rhonda. You're sounding quite a bit better. You're readable, but you still have the static on the line.
I'm trying to get this new radio installed, and I had some of the settings wrong, and I'm trying to figure out what I did. It's getting better, so hopefully I can get it straightened out.
Well, you have an improved signal at this point. You might just have a bad location, but it's a little bit of static, but we can hear you and make out what you're saying just fine.
I hope y'all have a good day. Thank you. KQ4FRY,
and I'm clear. FRY, this is KO4ZEW, I'll be clear.
For ZEW, KQ4AKE.
ZEW, go ahead, station.
I should know, seems to be some static on this repeater today anyhow, because I was getting about as much static on your transmissions as from Rhonda's transmissions. I think I heard somebody discussing that earlier today, too. So, anyway, just want to let you know there's a little bit of static on, from both you guys through the repeater there.
Coming in fine, and Gary was coming in fine earlier, K14DOS. I'm in a questionable location, so take the static with a grain of salt. I think Rhonda figured the problems out.
Good. You have a good day. This is KQ4 AKE, and we're standing by.
Check this, listening.
KO4 HKX.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Patrick, are you working today?
I just now got home.
I thought I heard John earlier in the truck. I'm like, wow, what the heck are you doing down here? I guess,
turn right. I gotta
turn right. Hang on a second. Would you make a today's Friday. Don't you normally take Fridays off?
Month, I usually go down to the Michelin Test Track.
Oh, okay, Michelin Test Track. Wow. Okay. I'd like to go check that out one day. Is that open to the public or not really?
Think so.
Oh, heck.
At the tracks, but you'd have to check into that. But I don't think you can go in there just general public.
Mentioned to take the wife to the Greer racetrack down there. I forget the name of the road now. But we hear them all year long when they're qualifying and then the racing on Saturday night. I haven't been to a racetrack in years, man.
Time. It's usually pretty good on Saturday nights.
Have you ever gone to the grid track? I think, what is it, a drag track, right?
Yeah, it's been a few years since I've been, but I have been.
The racetrack, and oh my gosh, a number of years. More than I care to mention.
Anytime.
The grandkids, we got the, the hearing protectors and stuff that we bring and, cover their ears up.
That phone call, Dave. I'll holler back at you here in a minute.
Good enough. I'm coming through town here, so I may be a little noisy. I'm downtown Greenville. All right, KO4HKX KB2HXS. Mobile.
Four.
FOR, radio check. FOR or KB2HXS?
I'm excited. I think I've got everything good now, and thanks for getting back with me.
I realize you're having a problem. What was it?
It's on this channel, messed up, and I had to go in and redo them.
You sound good. I'm down here in downtown Greenville on Church Street, so I might get a little noisy on you. I'm heading back to Greer, or Greer, or however you want to pronounce it.
So when this is KQ4FOR, and I'm clear.
Ah, very good. Have a good day, KP2HXS. I'll be mobiling along.
Yeah, I'm back, Dave.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I'm just coming through town, just in traffic. I'm sure I'm going to hit a little bit of light rush hour.
Really, that's time of day.
Unit done. We were done about half an hour ago. We just had a chit-chat with the customer for a minute, show them how to use a thermostat. And I'm on my way home, man.
You said that. Wife and I were talking about that other one for us, and we'll talk about it over the phone.
10-4.
Okay, I'll give you a call in just a second.
Okay. I'm sure that stirred somebody up just now.
So, I'll talk to you in a minute. KO4HK, clear.
KB2HXS. I'm only kidding. Who was ever listening?
EG4MUK.
Mobile over here in Seneca, headed towards Greenville. How's your afternoon been so far?
I'm pretty good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, nice sunshiny. Got a couple of little projects done outside, and you might be hearing my wife's bird in the background.
I heard something there chirping. Yeah, I just... You're talking about a bird, and I'm going by the Oconee County Airport, and the airplane flew right over in front of me, and the same time you said that, and I'm thinking, okay, I hope it ain't that bird.
those birds are, they come over here sometimes. They work on them over here at Donaldson Center, and, hear some of them helicopters coming over, and I haven't heard too many of the jets, but we hear some of it. I'm kind of down here in the country. They don't come down this way very often. But my wife's bird, he kind of, when he gets to code channeling, he's pretty loud.
Is it?
He's about a 30-year-old cockatoo.
I'm trying to remember what bird that was that a friend of mine had that it climbed up on my shoulder, reached up and tore the little button off the top of my hat. I can't remember what it was, but I heard the top of my hat go crunch, and I'm like, wow, that's a big bird too.
Might have been a cockatoo, or it could have been a macaw, maybe. They're pretty good-sized birds, but he can, the cockatoo's white, solid white, but he can break a broom handle in two with the beak he's got on him.
It was what, the one was it bit the button off the top of my hat. I think friend that I'd met at that time, I met the bird, told me that bird could lop your finger right off, and I'm like, I kept my hands closed and kept them to myself. I didn't fare too well after that. I was like, this bird's trying to chew my hat off my head.
It's old people. Have you ever noticed those old pictures with the pirates and they got the eye patch and the parrot on the shoulder? Well, that's why they got the eye patch.
That's a bad way. That's a bad way to look at it.
And they can do some damage. The pictures I've seen on the internet has been people that's had them grab a hold of a earlobe and amputate the earlobe.
It's definitely the signs of the reason why I don't own a bird. Chickens and ducks and geese and goats, that's pretty much been the only farm animals I've ever had on my property, and hopefully that's all I ever have.
As the eggs don't come down, I'm thinking about getting me.
I had a lot of chickens, probably close to 100, and I used to go to the creek and find some of that good brown sand from the creek. I'd always keep me buckets and buckets of that around the chicken coop. And I would take, and when I'd throw the corn out, I'd throw a few handfuls of that sand out. Boy, it sure did make the eggs a lot stouter, or not stouter, but stronger. They use that sand, and when they eat, they'll pick that sand up, and they use it to grind up their food more.
Yeah, there's a fella talks on here from time to time. Tom, I don't know if you know him, but I think he's got some chickens. I think he might have what they call silkies.
About 20 or 30 of those. And kind of got to keep the feet trimmed a little bit, keep them cleaned. They get motoring around the yard and whatnot, and they get built up on those bottom leg feathers, and they can get what I call little marbles if you don't keep that part of them clean. But yeah, they can be some little puffy little rascals.
Yeah, I was kind of leaving a pause there. I thought maybe Tom would come in, but he might not be around. But, these birds we got in the house, they need their claws trimmed from time to time and their beaks trimmed. But we've got the cockatoo, and then we've got a green Amazon. She's a whole lot smaller. And then we got a real tiny parrot, about the size of a parakeet. And it sounds like the Riverbank Zoo here in the morning sometimes.
Yeah, I remember one of my dad's sisters, she had some birds, and I would go over and stay at her house and be over there like kind of early in the morning, and they would still be covered up. And I'd be sitting down to eat breakfast, and then she'd go to uncovering the birds, and it just like clockwork. Well, as long as they was going to call it crash and go to sleep or whatnot, but boy, when they uncovered them, my goodness. And when you got about it was like 7 or 8 of them, boy, they'd really get vocal in the morning.
He thinks he's a rooster. My dad had a whole lot of roosters when we lived in Easley, and went to the flea market one weekend to sell them, and he left me alone with them roosters, and I sold them for what the cages was worth.
Hens and roosters are going for nowadays. It's been quite a few years since I've had a farm yard full of birds and all that good stuff. All I got right now is just goats, but I know at one time I was just, once I got started with them, it's pretty much just let nature take the course and let things be what they're going to be. I had quite a good few egg layers a great number of them, you know, would sit on eggs and stay on them. And that's kind of how I got to where the bird's population sort of picked up, so to speak.
10-0-TR.
Come on in. We're talking about chickens and birds and everything. KF4NXY.
Roger, KF4NXY. Didn't mean to interrupt the conversation. No, I guess I did. Google the Chicken Man. Just T-H-E, Chicken Man. He's a wonderful guy. He's up in Flat Rock. And I just wanted to tell you that it probably shocked you, but his chickens are 8 weeks old, so you don't have to raise them as little bitty ones and lose some. And they're guaranteed hens. And if you get a rooster in there, you just take it back and he'll give you another one. His name's Amen, like in the Bible, Amen. And you can call him either one. And they'll run $15 to $25 a piece. So I just thought I'd throw that out there to you guys. It's 10-0-TR.
Come on in for a while. I'm going to get back outside and get back to my little projects I was doing. Just kind of come in, take a break, and get something to drink. Y'all have a good afternoon. I'll catch you a little later. KF4NXY, I'm clear.
Have a good day. And the black Australop seems to be the best layer for nice big brown eggs.
You quoted it price. I was like, man, birds have almost doubled in price compared to what they were back when I was fooling with them and everything. I think it's been about seven years since I fooled with birds. And I had the rabbits, the bird chickens, had the guineas, and then had the goats, had a lot of goats, and had really good luck with them. But the birds, I remember them being anywhere from $5 to $7 a piece. But yeah, they with inflation and the economy we've had in the last couple of years, I can understand birds doubling.
Say, thank you, Joe. That pretty well covers it. But not to get into that, but the good part about it is they're guaranteed hens, and a lot of times you get quite a few roosters, they tell me, if you go to one of the other places. Now, that farmland place up there on Highway 14 where I buy my chicken feed, all up about Gap Creek Road, along that area, just north of there. They are great people, and they sell theirs much cheaper than that, and Tractor Supply is much cheaper, I'm sure, but they're smaller. They're little bitty chicks, and so you can lose them, you know. Some of them kick the bucket, and you got to feed them for 2 months, and then they don't lay for about another 6 months. So you get them from the chicken man and pay a little premium. They're guaranteed all hens. And they're 8 weeks old, and so they don't have to be inside, and they don't have to be heated. You can just put them in the pen and let her fly. And what was your name, sir?
From UK, it's Wayne. I'm over here in Seneca, headed to Greenville or whatnot, headed to work there.
I didn't mean to let the other gentleman out, and I know him, but I just forgot his name. But I'm Tom, and Bernice is with me. And we've been together about 54 years, 55 next month. And we just went down to the daughter and took her some eggs and some frog legs. I found those at Ingles the other day, and boy, that was good.
Frog legs?
I did, at Ingles.
Hot dog. Well, boy, that's something I love to eat. Now, there you go. Yeah, we used to go... We used to get a John boat and go hit a couple of little private ponds that buddies owned. And we'd get out there. I mean, it'd be late at night, trolling around or whatnot, and get out there gigging them. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, that's some good eating.
Well, that's all you can get. Well, we lived in Kansas for 62 and a half years. been down here about 13 and lived up by Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham up north of Greer. And we're in Greer, in Greenville County. But yeah, that's what we done. And sometimes we'd even walk the creeks, and creeks as you call them down here, I guess, and catch them by hand. Back then, a gig was illegal, so if you were gigging them, Dad always said, put them in the gunny sack and put a brick in there. And then when you come back to the bank, if there happened to be a game warden waiting there, well, you just throw the gunny sack over with the brick in it.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I think he had like a permit. And I was out there trolling, and he was out there sticking. And I mean, that's been good. That's been years and years ago. But I don't know that they'll let you do that anymore. And I don't even know if that's because I haven't. That's something that I have not been or done in. Could be 35 years, maybe. Maybe longer than that. But I do remember we used to go coon hunting. We'd go hunting and fishing and do all kinds of those outdoor chores and things. It would go prepping, you know, the deer stands and the feeders and everything else. And, you know, you talk about way back then compared to what now is, especially when you haven't done none of that in years. Sometimes they take that to heart. I have had a game warden say, hey, how long has it been since you've been in the woods? I said, oh, about 17, 18 years. He said, man, the rules changed a little bit compared to what you're talking about.
It's in general TR. Yeah, they're quite different down here, and I'm not able to go out now either, Wayne. We do, like back then, was the John boat and a big old flashlight, you know, to bind them. And you had to be careful, and when you reach for them, a nice water moccasin might have the same idea, but we didn't have them poisonous kinds like you had. We had the common water snake, but they had a Monday morning disposition about taking the frogs away from them. But, I went coon hunting with my buddy a few times, but it was usually in the fall, and those dang spider webs were still up, and it was exciting. One night, Wayne, we were down by Cow Creek back up there near Pittsburgh, Kansas. And my buddy and I was just Dad, and he had the coon dogs. And me and Bill had just walked across this real old cemetery. And, of course, we had a .22 with us and a spotlight. And so he went over the fence first, and I handed him the rifle, like you're supposed to do. You know, you don't want to cross a barbed wire fence with a rifle in your hand. Just a little bit further down the line, where I found a spot to go over, I stepped into a covey of quail. And we just looked at our watch, and it was around midnight, and we was teenagers in a graveyard. I'll never forget that.
I could tell you a whole lot of funnies on that coon hunting. Some of the stuff was something else. I can remember some crazy events. One of the funnier things, I can't really mention on the radio, but we crossed over an electric fence, and the fence got me. Then the dog started getting crazy. And then it just turned into a real bad mess, and the fence wouldn't let go of me, I'll put it that way. And it was a hoop and hollering time at that moment.
Yeah, we all done that. That'll light you right up. That's about 6,000 or 8,000 volts usually. It's not much current, but it hurts like the dickens. Yeah, or else the dogs decide to run off and go up in some farmer's yard chasing their livestock around or something, or whatever they got there, and then you got to explain what happened. I can remember a few things like that. So I didn't coon hunt very long, but I did love to go frog hunting or even fishing at night was a lot of fun. But those were good old days, and that's probably been 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah. Times changed a lot compared to what they were 40 plus years ago for me. When I was about 10, 12 years old, I can remember going with the elders. We'd go hunting or fishing or whatnot. And I did a lot of coon hunting. And I remember everybody's like, "You want to walk the dogs? We'll carry everything else." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm excited to get to walk the dogs." So, for me, that was pretty fun. So I thought we went around a corner, and I got two walkers in one side, one hand, and then got two black and tens in the other, double leashed. And we went around a corner, and we're gonna slide down a little hill. We got right down there on the creek, and we was just getting ready to let them go. Well, they got on the deer, and I couldn't get the straps loose. And them crazy dogs drove me right across that creek, face first. And I thought I was never going to get let go.
This is Enduro TR. Well, just be thankful it wasn't a blackberry bush or a barbed wire fence. You got a free bath out of that. Yeah, it wasn't one of my favorite hollies. Bill's dad had mostly blue ticks up there in Kansas. But boy, those were like having one of the family. I'm telling you, those things, they'd spend a bunch of money on a good coon hound.
Yeah, they definitely do. I know some guys that they hunt with some of the best coon dogs probably in the nation. And whenever they have got a dog trained up and got it ready to go on market, I've seen those dogs go for some unrealistic numbers. Numbers that I just, like, there's no way. And, I paid $250 for a coon dog years ago, and I thought that was outrageous. He was a good dog, and he did good. But these boys are selling them for about what I'd pay for my pickup truck.
I don't doubt that a bit. It's just incredible. It was always fun to listen to them when they were trailing the coon, and then whenever they get a tree coons, their voice would change altogether.
I always enjoyed hearing the dogs talking. And, one of the things that even to this day I miss was talking back. They go to whooping it up, and then you go to calling out. And they knew if you called out a certain way what to do. And that used to be one of those things. So that call-out language was always fun and get things really going. And I can remember many a night having a lot of good luck and a lot of bad luck. I've had the dogs go slam out of sight. Back then, we didn't fool with trackers. We'd just leave an article of clothing in the woods somewhere or a little bit of food nearby the coat and come back literally, you'd come back the next morning and their dog be laying.
Yeah, I saw the dogs, the coon was shot. No, I didn't shoot it, but Clifford did, Bill's dad, and with a .22, and they fell out of the tree and fell into a creek. And that coon just almost completely drowned one of our coon hounds. And Clifford just was frantic, and I thought, "Well, what are you worried about?" And he says, that coon will drown that dog if it gets in the water." And boy, he just about did, and he'd climb right up on their face and hang on.
Oh yeah, I can remember that happening many times. I remember when we were I was always really good. One guy would have the rifle, one guy would have the spotlight. The dogs would be on a tree, blowing the top out of the tree as we would be walking up. And I'd just take my old hand and do that little to get them to kind of move around on the tree and try to give them the opportunity to make the shot. one of the dogs grabbed a vine in a tree and took the coon for a slip, and that crazy son of a gun fell right on top of my head and went right down my back, and as he was trying to do that, the dogs treed me.
Well, one of the funniest things I ever had happen, and this is in JLTR, I used to, for probably 30, 40 years, we helped Class Limited with a developmentally disabled fella, and that I started taking him fishing when I was in the seventh grade, and Alan was an adult then, but he looked me up when I got out of the service, and every time I went hunting or fishing, well, I'd try to take him with me, and he'd walk out every Friday night and eat with us. Well, I was up to Walmart one day, and they had a squirrel call, and I always used the ones that had a bellows on them, and they kind of tuck, 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 you know. Well, this was a whistle wing. I never heard a squirrel whistle. That's ridiculous. When I bought it, it was on sale for $2. So we goes out hunting, and I had a friend that was a minister over in Missouri. Well, I couldn't afford a Missouri license at that time, and I always had a Kansas license. But it was $75 for a Missouri license. But William was a minister, and he said, "The good Lord and me own this land, and Tom, I got too many squirrels. They eat all the nuts." So I went over there, and the instruction said, you blow on this whistle, and it sounds like a shriek, and then you take a stick, and you beat on the ground and the leaves during the fall, and rustle them back and forth, and they'll think that one of their young ones got caught, and the mama or the daddy will run out and start going tuck, tuck, tuck at you. And I did that, and I'm telling you that Alan, that developmentally disabled guy, he just laughed his head off. He thought that was so funny, because he'd been raised on a farm. He never heard a squirrel do that. So I thought, well, I'll try it one more time. And I did that, Wayne, and here come the mama out. And chuck, 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 she was all ticked off. And I shot her, and I carried it over to Alan and showed him, and he said he'd never seen anything like that, Tom.
It's a general TR. Jeez, you for me, Kelly. Yeah, that's... I tell you, they make a lot of different sounds. I have been in the woods many a time in a deer stand and had squirrels. Well, unfortunately, I had to get up in a tree with me. But then I realized, well, something's up with this. I think I'll leave. And I've had turkey literally roost in the tree with me, and not a single deer be anywhere in the woods. But I never really used calls. I always used my hand or my lips, and would always hold a certain way, and I'd do the squirrel calls and the coon calling and the coon squalling. But I feel like I did it so much, I got to where it's about the only kind of imitations that I can do anyway.
Well, those guys at coon hunting can make that, sound for the raccoons. But that wasn't in my, that was rude. Man, this lady gave a turn signal and this guy just cut her off on purpose. Oh, I don't like drivers like that. Yeah, they all did that screech for the raccoons, but it wasn't in my playbook, put it that way.
And just some people can, some people can't. You know, I had a buddy of mine, he could, he could imitate anything. It's kind of like Michael Winslow in a sense, but not that gifted. You know, the guy from Police Academy that does all the different sound effects with his mouth and all, you know, which that man's gifted with sound making. And I could only imagine if he did animal sounds, how many calls he could probably come up with. But some people can, some people can not do so good with it, but I had fun doing what I could do. Back when I was younger, I felt like getting out there. Now that I've gotten older and slower. I'm just not up to speed to want to do any of that anymore. But I do miss it still.
Well, one time, Dad went with me, and he always liked to go out squirrel hunting. And he went over there sitting on the ground. He was raised on a farm in Missouri, and for many years, and there were like 10 kids. And he sat down, and he took two quarters, and he started tapping them together to imitate a squirrel. And I'd never seen that done. And then he would scratch on the backside of them and back and forth with the two quarters. And I just laughed. I thought that was so funny. And I was watching this school bus stop here, but he hadn't put out the sign yet. But at any rate, I was sitting there, and we was just silent hunting. And lo and behold, a squirrel come right down that very tree that my dad was setting up against because he was getting older. So I shot the squirrel out of the tree and lit right on his head.
TG4MK, yeah, I was over on 85 going north. I was like, just talking about the school bus and people cutting people off. And it just astounds me that, you know, I've been a truck driver for 34 years, and I can be in my personal vehicle, no matter, I don't care what day, what time of the day it is, and everybody acts like they should have been there yesterday, and drive like a bunch of wild maniacs.
There isn't any tomorrow, and in a lot of cases, there isn't any tomorrow. My grandson, unfortunately, found that out the other day. He got a ticket, and he got his car taken away from him, too. I noticed it in the driveway down there. Yep, he got caught for speeding, and the cop cut it down on him. It was on a Saturday morning. There wasn't any traffic up on Pelham Road, but he was going too fast, so... he learned the hard way. He got the keys taken away from him. Well, I'll tell you one more before we get home, Wayne. I was at work one day. I worked in a large machine shop for 32 years. There was a fellow that came to me, Tom, he just retired from the Navy a few years ago. He's a senior chief. And all of his rabbits got loose, and they're out in the timber down there by Spring River on the way to Joplin. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going that far out of my area into Missouri. And he says, well, Tom, he lives way back in the boondocks along the river. And he said, you can come down there and harvest those all tame rabbits, Wayne. And harvest those rabbits if you'd like to have some for the meat. And I said, well, all right, we'll do that. I'll look it over. And I went down there, and he's right. It was out in the boondocks. So I took Alan with me, my developmentally disabled fella. And Alan, you know, he wasn't terribly disabled, but good enough. So we get out of the car, and we're walking out in the timber. And the first rabbit I shot was one of those big white California rabbits with black on them, you know. I bet that thing, well, what did it weigh, Bernice? About 6.5, 7 pounds? Somewhere in the boot. Anyways, I shot that white rabbit, and I brought it over now, and he always said, I'll carry all the rabbits, Tom. And I showed him that rabbit, and he just kept staring. I ain't never seen a rabbit like that out in the timber, Tom. The next one I shot was coal black, and he was another big, huge rabbit. And he couldn't figure that out.
Like a bunch of Californians, it was loose.
Yeah, the California rabbit's white and got black on it, and then this other one was coal black, and then I shot a, I don't know, it was a Dutch Belgium or something else. But anyways, I shot about 6 of them. I thought, oh, that's enough. The limit was 10. Alan put his in a crock pot, and Bernice tried to fry ours. And I got to tell you, Wayne, you couldn't have cut that thing up with a hatchet. It was tougher than a boot. But It was fun just to see the look on Ellen's face.
I can tell you one thing about the rabbit deal. You know, we didn't have them back then. I mean, you could substitute putting them in a pressure pot and kind of give them a good boil and let them settle and then smoke them. Just wrap them up and smoke them for about 2 hours, maybe three, at about 250, 265. Then turn right around, wrap them up in tinfoil, and smoke them until that internal meat hits what I call perfection. I don't remember what the heat temp would be on a rabbit. That's always been the best way I found to cook a rabbit, which I'm very guilty of being a barbecue smoking connoisseur. I'll smoke some pork, some ribs, beef ribs, diner ribs, briskets and all that. I do those to mouth-watering perfection. But, yeah, it's always fun to cook them and eat them. And I remember one time we had a rooster. I'm going to let this thing burp. It used to chase us all the time. And he come up and clog me one day, and I was like, okay, that's it. I whacked him and cleaned him up. I ended up putting that son of a gun in a crock pot, and even after all that, he was still pretty tough. But hens, I skin them out, throw them in a crock pot, and they'd always come out good. It seems like when you take and try to catch them when they don't hit that 14 month. If you get them, let them get past 14 months, they start getting kind of tough.
I agree with you emphatically on that. They said about a year. I know it's what he said up there, but I don't have the heart to eat them anymore. These get to be like pets after a while, I guess you'd say. They're not quite. They're there for the eggs. But I'll tell you one last one here, and then I got to go. We just got home, Wayne. Alan was always said crazy like a fox. Well, he was working at the YMCA when he was about 55 years old, and anyways, he was in this group that helped him get an apartment on his own called Class Limiteds, and Alan's not keeping his room clean, and they're going to kick him out of the Knights of Columbus Tower. And I said, well, why? I said, that don't make sense. Well, you need to go up there and check on him. And I didn't belong to Class Limiteds. They just knew that he respected what I said, or I'd chew his butt out like a master at arms in the Navy, you know. So I went up there and I said, Alan, I said, they're going to kick you out. And I said, you've got a lot of liberty here having your own apartment. And I said, what's the problem? Well, my sweeper don't work. And I said, well, I've been an electrician a lot of years, and you knew better. You could have called me, and I would have come out and fixed your sweeper or got you another one or something. So anyways, I went over there, and I got the sweeper, and I plugged it in, and the sweeper ran like a top, Wayne. And I said, Alan, what's the matter with the sweeper? Well, you know, Tom, I'm working at the YMCA. Yeah, I said, yeah, oh, yeah, I know that. I said, what's that got to do with a sweeper? Well, you know, I get off at 5 o'clock. The time I get home in the wintertime, he said, it's dark. I said, yeah, what's that got to do with the sweeper, Alan? And he turned it on. He says, well, I can't see the sweep. He says, the light don't work on the sweeper, Wayne. Wayne, the pleasure's all mine. Enjoyed it, but that actually happened. And I chewed him out, and from now on, the carpet was clean. It's NGLTR. Be clear with your final. 73.
Oh, man, that is so hilarious. Yeah, I enjoyed it in 73's too. I'm glad I finally put a radio back in my truck. I've been wanting to get back on here. I normally just stay up on HF and stuff like that. And I do ham radio live on YouTube on Saturday mornings as well. And that's at about 7:30 Saturday morning. Have a real good time with that. But anyway, I'll say Santa Cruz to you. I'm over here in Piedmont. I'm going to keep on driving until I get to work. KG4MUK.
Come on, KG4MEK, N0TR 73, and we're clear.